Do you think that I came to give peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. I mean, these are the words that you wouldn't expect to hear out of the mouth of Jesus. I mean, rather you would expect to hear words of peace from the Prince of Peace. And instead you get division. You expect Jesus to focus on the family and bring the family together. And you get Jesus saying he's going to set father against son and mother against daughter and in-law against in-law and divide houses of five into three against two. Will you be in the majority or in the minority? And which will be on Jesus' side? I mean, this is the same Jesus who at his birth the angels sang, peace on earth. And from Jesus' own mouth, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Jesus is the one who said, peace be with you, to his frightened disciples. Remember that? And here the Prince of Peace speaks of fire, baptism, and division. Do you think that I've come to give peace on the earth? Well, to be honest, Jesus, yes, we do think that you've come to give peace on the earth. In fact, we expect you to bring peace in spite of our own efforts to the contrary. We expect everything to go pretty well when Jesus shows up. We expect world peace, peace in our neighborhoods, peace in our congregations, peace in our homes. And we get all anxious when peace doesn't come in the way we expect it and when we expect it. We are wanting the whole kit and caboodle of heaven on earth now, and we start to wonder what went wrong and why isn't Jesus doing something about it? Our Lord also says, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it was already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. From the mouth of Jesus this morning, we get a piece of reality, what Luther called the theology of the cross. It's about our temporal life lived under the cross of Jesus. Jesus has a fire to cast down upon the earth. He has a baptism with which he must be baptized, and he's driven to accomplish it. When the scriptures speak of fire, especially in terms of casting fire, what comes to mind? In the Old Testament, we read of the Lord raining down fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Also, we learn about God sending down fire to consume rebellious Israelites while they were in the desert. So fire is often associated with God's judgment. And the prophets, they also speak of God's fire as a refining fire to purify. Fire destroys whatever it can burn away. And it also purifies what it cannot. Jesus says that he's come to cast fire on the earth. The fire Jesus cast upon the earth is a refining, purifying, illuminating fire that saves. For that fire to be kindled, though, there must be a sacrifice, a whole burnt offering, a sinless victim for sinful many. For this peace that passes our understanding to come, my friends, there must be a death. And not just any death, but the death of the Son of God in the flesh. And he alone can kindle this fire. No amount of rubbing the sticks of our good works together can accomplish this. No matter how many merit badges we've accumulated to our credit, only Jesus can bring his purifying fire upon the earth. But first, he must die and rise. There is no other way than the way of the cross. And in the words of Jesus in today's gospel, he says he is driven and compelled to go on this lonely mission. His eyes are fixed to the cross like an Olympic runner zeroed in on the finish line. Our Lord Jesus has come to destroy the power of sin, death, devil, and hell. He has come to destroy all that would divide you and me from the Lord and the life that he has for us. You who have faith, his fire doesn't destroy you. It purifies you. It purifies you by removing all of your impurities, all of your sins, all of your unholiness that would divide you from God. But how does Jesus cast this fire down on the earth? It is by his baptism that he must undergo. And this is not the one in the Jordan River at the beginning of his ministry, although the two are closely connected. At his baptism in the Jordan, the sinless, pure Son of God took his place among sinners. By his baptism, he declared that he had come to bear all of their sins, yours and mine, all of our impurities, all of our unrighteousness. His baptism by John sets Jesus on a road to Calvary. On the cross, he would take their place, your place, my place, and suffer God's fire, God's judgment for our sin. That's the baptism of fire that he speaks about to his disciples. And Jesus was compelled to see his baptism through to the very end when he would cry out, "It is finished." My friends, if you and I face God's fire on our own, we would be destroyed. But there would be nothing left, nothing to purify, because there's nothing pure within us. So Christ faced that fire in your place. Our Lord Jesus had been destroyed in your place, suffered hell in your place before his death and resurrection, because the fire destroyed him on the cross. Now, he purifies you. He divides you away from sin and death and sets you apart as a holy child of God. Think about that. The peace that Jesus brings through his dark death is a peace that the world cannot give, a peace that the world doesn't know, a peace that the world cannot negotiate. It's the peace of sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. The peace of God in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. The peace of God's justifying word that declares us righteous for Jesus' sake alone. The peace of a quiet conscience, knowing that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the baptism that you are baptized with. That's the fire that has come to you with word and spirit. A baptism that drowns and gives life, that kills and makes alive. A fire that destroys sin and the sinner in Adam and refines the pure gold of the saint in Christ. That division of which Jesus speaks, not only cuts through families and the closest of our relationships, it also cuts right through each one of us as sinner and saint, sinful and righteous. Hebrew calls the Word of God a sharp, two-edged sword that can divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It's a division that brings unity in Christ, a death that brings life, a drowning that leads to resurrection, a fire that delivers pure gold, a violence that brings peace, lasting and eternal peace. But our old Adam wants nothing to do with this. It wants something completely different. We want peace on our own terms. I mean, no one wanted to listen to Jeremiah's preaching of 70 years of exile. Who wants to listen to that? It's depressing. It's bad for national morale and pride. It's so negative. We naturally plug our ears to that kind of message. Bring us the kind and gentle Jesus, the focus on the family Jesus. The God will grant you all kinds of favors because you're special Jesus. Don't dwell on the cross and Jesus' death. We already know the old, old story, so why bother repeating it? Tell us something new. Make us feel good about ourselves. Encourage and uplift us. And the Jeremiahs of our day, well, let's just toss them in the pit somewhere and shut them up. The way of baptismal faith in Jesus is the way of the cross. There's no other way. Faith is a race that's set before us, not a ride in an easy chair in front of the television. And it isn't a sprint that is over and done with in a matter of seconds. No, it's a marathon that lasts a lifetime. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Just as the runner fixes his eyes on the finish line and the prize of a gold medal, just as Jesus had his eyes on the prize of your salvation in his death, so faith looks to Jesus, who endured the cross with your sin to save you. So run the race. The life of faith is not a spectator sport in which you watch others run. You and I are in the race. You are running. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look back at your past. Runners who look over their shoulder trip and crash into things. Look forward. The past is redeemed, reconciled, and forgiven in Jesus. Look ahead to the finish line, to the resurrection of body and eternal life. Don't look at your feet when you're running. Faith in Christ looks to Christ and not to yourself. Shed the dead weight of sin and guilt, my friends. Be done with it. Confess it and be forgiven and free. Don't try to bear the burden of your sin because Jesus bore it for you. Dump it on Him and run your race in freedom. Christ didn't hang on a cross so that you would have to carry around two bags of guilt on your shoulders. You are forgiven and free. Run as a forgiven and free child of God. Run your race knowing that there are those at the finish line cheering you on. They've run the race before you. They've endured in the faith. They trusted in the promises of God in Christ Jesus, even when that promise appeared to fail. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even Rahab the prostitute. What a motley bunch is that that cheers you on as you run the race set before you. Run your baptismal race with joy, with endurance, with patience, and with hope. Focus on Jesus and His joy that was to save you. And your joy is to receive the salvation that He won for you, to be welcomed at the end of your race into the open arms of your Savior, to have Him put the victor's wreath on your head and the gold medal of His grace-giving salvation around your neck. And my friends, when you and I become weary or become discouraged, let us fix our faith on Jesus and let everything else recede into the background. For our Lord will sustain you. He will give you strength. He will see you through from death to life. The Apostle Paul wrote these words from a dark Roman dungeon as he awaited his own impending execution. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's how the race looks like, my friends. No lasting peace in this world, yet eternal peace that surpasses our understanding. No enduring abundant life in this world, yet eternal life in abundance. And no sustained joy in this world, yet eternal joy overflowing. So, my friends, let us run the race, knowing that in Christ you already have the victory. It is finished. In the name of Jesus, amen.